blessed to be a part. I've been a part since the beginning, the very beginning. I was in Chuck Wood's class tonight, and he began to speak of the janitor in church, how they have the opportunity to do the preparation of the service. And he said, have you ever been involved in the preparation of a service? Well, I can honestly say that when the YWCA, when we were over there and the church started, I set the church up every week. So some of you helped, Jeremy, you helped, and some others in the room helped. We used to set up chairs every single Thursday night and every Sunday. We set the sound up so the speakers you see, some of them on the platform here, we'd move them in and out of a closet for every service. So I have been here since the beginning, and I'm blessed to be a part of this church. This church has done far more for me than I could ever do for it. And I believe if you stick around long enough, some people just come to get healed and then run down the road. And I've seen a lot of people like that. You might be here tonight and you say, I need something for today. I need something for tonight. I need something for next week. That's great. And you'll get that tonight. I believe the Word of God will come forth and you'll feel different. It'll impact your life and you'll leave here feeling better and maybe gifted in a way that you've never felt before. But the real trick is to stick around long enough so it impacts your life, not just for this season, but for the next season of your life. And I'm going to speak on that, to that subject here in a second. But I do want to read my point of scripture tonight, and it is my tradition always to have a point of scripture. Man, these lights are killing me tonight. I try to get used to these glasses. I kind of have, it's kind of a double-edged sword. If I don't wear them, I can't see your face. If I do wear them, there's like a glare up here, and I can't, you know what I'm saying? And you're looking at me like I'm weird. So I'm working at it here tonight with the glasses. But let me just read this point of scripture to you. It's out of Genesis 41, 32 through 37 is where we'll read tonight, and then we'll back up in the scripture. I don't have time to read it all to you tonight, and I encourage you to go home and read this, because as you meditate on the scripture like I have for, I don't know how long, a couple weeks or something like that, but I get new truths out of it every time I read it. So verse 32, and the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Don't bring me down. Don't get scared of me, Jeff. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of the good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then the food shall be reserved for the land of the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Verse 37, so the advice was good in Pharaoh's eyes, and of all his servants, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such one as this, a man in whom is in the Spirit of God? And that's where I want to stop. And it's my tradition, and it's in many circles a tradition to give a title to a sermon. So I will title this sermon tonight, I Am Choosing Favor Over Famine. Now, I want to thank you very much. That helped me a lot. I want to give you the meaning for favor. Many of you know it. Excessive kindness of unfair partiality, preferred treatment in the meaning of a famine, extreme hunger or starvation, extreme and general scarcity of food as in a country or in a large area. You know this from living, from you know, there's no really young people in here, but you know this from living. I'm 30 now. 30 bothered me for some reason, but it bothered me a lot. But you know in your life there's favor and there's famine times. And it doesn't negate when you see someone doing good in life. Sometimes we see people and by the eye we judge people on what they have or what they wear or what they drive or what they live in. Never think that because someone has all the things that it negates the famine of their life. I've met people who are rich, who have everything, who seem to have on the facade it all together. I've met leaders in churches. I've met elders in churches. I have. That on the outside, on the facade, on the appearance, on their word, they have it all together. But as you scratch down through the surface of who they are and what they have and what they wear, you find out that somewhere in their life there's a famine. And I would challenge you tonight not to be caught up in what people wear. And I understand the scripture says, well, that men look on the outward and God looks on the inward. But sometimes we get so caught up on what people have instead of what people's struggles are. And you can minister to someone in this place that you never even thought you could. Don't ever think that what someone has, it negates the famine of their life. I've met people who have everything who have no friends. In jails, they'll put people, they'll seclude people to one room. They'll put them in isolation as punishment. Am I right? They'll put them in isolation as punishment because it is punishment not to have communication, not to have friendships. I've met over the years of being in church and around business and around people, I've met person after person after person who lacks friendship, who lacks relationships in their lives. You can't have that. You can't be a fulfilled Christian. People say, well, I'll watch TV from home. People make them comments to me a lot because they think that they have to explain why they're not in church to me. You don't have to explain why you're not in church to me. It's not for me. You are not for me. You being in church is for you. A lot of you being in church is the fellowship of the people you're around. You're going to have fellowship, whether it be at work or in your, you go to the grocery store. What is the positive communication? What is the positive fellowship that you have in your life? I'm painting a picture that there are famines and there are favors in your life. If you have a relationship with Christ, you are a child of God, and you are a favored son and daughter of God. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the favor of God on your life. Again, that doesn't negate the famine. Would you say amen, church? Let's pray together before we start. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just give you this time. God, we just ask that even now that the power of your Holy Spirit would invade this room, would invade this space. God, every word that I speak, God, that it would be from your lips, from your tongue, and even more importantly, from your spirit in this house. God, that someone in this place would feel an impact in their heart. And they'd leave different than the way they walked in. God, I ask you that these words would be divine and they'd be spirit-led. I give you thanks for what you're going to do tonight. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Isn't Debbie the best? And I did want to say, Shawnee, you did a wonderful job tonight. You did a wonderful job. So there's famines in our life, whether it be the lack of friends, whether it be the lack of love. People do strange things for love. People do strange things for the lack of love. People, intimacy. People lack intimacy. And they go from thing to person to thing to person. A lack of intimacy. I didn't say sex. I'm not afraid to say sex in church. I didn't say sex. I said intimacy. People wonder why we worship the way we worship. You need intimacy with Christ. You can't live without it. People who lack intimacy, they run from thing to thing. They do. When you don't worship, when you don't come and empty yourself, intimacy is an emptying, a filling. Both, right? If you don't have that in church, if you don't have that in your life, it's a lack. So we Do we agree that we all have famines? We do. We need to identify the famines in our life and in our families so as not to die from them. The problem with church is we get so good at the facade. We get so good at it. Oh, let's pray three times and let's sing a song and let's do a dance. That's why sometimes I don't fit into the groove all the time. I go against the grain sometimes because I'm not going to get up and say something that I don't mean. I'm not going to act some way that I don't act. That's why if you really get to know me, if I really get to know you, there's people in this room that know me very well, and I know you very well. We know our pains. We know our iniquities. We know our sins. It's interesting, though, as you get to know that about other people, Brad, Jeremy, right? Do you still love them? Do you still care for them? That's the reference I'm making towards church, because sometimes people say, if he finds that out about me, if she finds that about me, they won't like me anymore. Is that really the way that we should be living? When we find each other's iniquities, when we find each other's problems, when we find each other's shortcomings, we should really minister to each other, not judge each other. There's a lot of professional judges around the church. And again, I've been around church 30 years of my life. There's professional judges. Be careful of the people who have all the answers, who got it all worked out. Every time you turn around, they're explaining how life works. Be careful of them people. Be careful what you receive. Be careful what you take in from those people. Look for people who aren't afraid to fall. Public falling isn't always bad. And I want to jump to the scripture here. Pharaoh had a dream that seven cattle came up out of the Nile and they looked beautiful. And I know cows. I used to raise cows, so I've got this mental picture of these cows that came up out of the water. They clean themselves. They actually lick their coats, right, Jeremy? They lick their coats and they feed themselves. If they don't have proper mineral, they'll actually seek it out. They'll feed themselves till they're healthy. So Pharaoh had this dream where seven cattle came up out of the Nile. They were healthy. They were beautiful. They were nice animals. And then in the dream, seven more cattle came up out of the water. And the scripture actually says that they were ugly, depending on the reading that you read. But the general wordage is that they were ugly. They were sick animals. And he woke up. The scripture says that Pharaoh woke. And he wondered what it meant. He fell back asleep. Pharaoh fell back asleep, and the scripture says that he had another dream, and that there was grain, and there was a bountiful amount of grain on the stalk. And then in his dream he saw another stalk of corn, and the corn looked horrible. It was dry. It was wind beaten. We know what bad crop looks like, don't we? This is a farm community. Don't we know what it looks like? So it was an ugly crop, and he woke up from the dream, and he was troubled by it. Now, I have to say that Pharaoh was not a Christian. He was not a believer. He did not believe, he did not seek out God, but he woke up from this dream, and the scripture says he knew that God had spoken. He went to the stargazers, and he went to the moon worshipers, and he went to the gypsies, and he said, what does this mean? And they couldn't tell him what it meant. I want to stop there and say, stop searching, stop asking people who aren't connected with divinity what divinity is. They can't tell you. When somebody meets you out in the back parking lot and says, God said this about you, let every word arise. Let every word be established. Right? So he ends up, Pharaoh ends up, he asked the butcher and the butler. And the scripture says that they'd been sent to jail. They torqued off the Pharaoh. He sent them to jail. And when they were in the jail, are you with me right now? Am I making sense to you? The butler and the butcher were in jail. The Pharaoh's butler and butcher were in the jail, and they had met Joseph in the jail. And Joseph was in the jail, and he was preaching God's word. And the butler and the butcher actually had dreams themselves when they were in jail. And Joseph was in jail, and he explained the word of the Lord to them. So the butler and the butcher are out of jail. They're back in working for Pharaoh. Are you with me? They're back working for Pharaoh. And the butcher and the butler speak up, and they said there was this Hebrew boy. There was this boy that we remember. We were in jail. We had these dreams. We had these visions, and we couldn't explain them. But this Hebrew boy spoke up right in the middle of the jail, right in the jail cell. He spoke up. He was preaching God's word. He was sharing God's love when he was in jail. And he interpreted our dreams. He told us what our dreams were. And if you're interested to find out what their dreams were, read the scripture. So the Pharaoh said, bring me this boy. And the scripture actually says, and I'm getting way away from my notes like I always do. I just start talking. He says, bring me the boy. Catch up with myself here, because I got some points I want you to hear. It was a divine communication that Pharaoh had asked all his people, but they couldn't understand. And he said, I need to find someone who can understand. This is where Joseph comes into the mix. Joseph was in jail preaching and sharing his gift. He didn't care how many people were in the room. He loved God. He loved God's people, and he shared it with the inmates. And God gave him promotion because of it. And I wrote this down, and I'll tell you what, I've been around the church a long time, and I wrote this down. Some people will only share God's gift around large numbers of people. I can tell you this, in my years of being around ministry, I've led worship when there's been five people in the room. There have been pots and pans, literally, pots and pans, people beating on something that you would see in an elementary school. Boom, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord, right? Five people in the room. Led worship, five people in the room. Joseph's in prison. He's preaching to inmates. He gets thrown in jail over a lie that was told about him in Potiphar's house, right? Do you know the scripture? He ends up in jail, and he's speaking God's word, and he's using his gift. Don't ever get so good that you can't use God's gift with five people, with two people. Nobody shows up for service. Something happens. I remember the night that Amanda's mother was killed, and there was 10 people in the room, and Dad went running out the back and said, Ryan, you're gonna have to do it. I was 15, 16 years old. I said, do what? What do you want me to do? You want me to? I can't preach. I can't even talk in front of people. Don't ever get so good where you can't talk in front of two or three people, because that's where you never know who's in the room. And Joseph didn't know who was in the room, did he? The butler and the butcher were in the room, and he spoke the word of the Lord over their lives. He was given promotion because he shared in a jail cell. You never know who's in the room. Or in his case, you never know who's in a jail cell. Joseph came out of the prison, and the Bible said he washed and shaved himself. Don't ever get so caught up in who you were that you can't get caught up in who you're becoming. Are you with me tonight? Joseph came out of the prison. The Pharaoh called for him, and the scripture actually says that he washed and he shaved himself. Read the scripture. When I read that, I was like, what? What's this got to do with anything? Him washing and shaving himself. I felt the Lord say, sometimes when I promote, you got to clean up. There's people, God's opening up doors for you. God's giving you a gift. He's giving you the ability for promotion. I walked in tonight, and Paulie said to me, it's my new look. I'm trying this out. And I said, man, that is so God to confirm this with me. The scripture said that Joseph washed and he shaved himself before he presented himself to the king. Amen? Are you ready for your blessing? Are you ready? If God begins to do something in your life, God begins to bring promotion to you, are you ready for God's blessing? Are you prepared? Are you showing up to the interview, shaved up, cleaned up, ready to go? Are you? Hey, you're not talking to me tonight. I'll just keep talking. You're doing good, Ryan. You're doing good. So he was an inmate one day, and the next day, he was before the king. You got to be ready to change everything sometimes. Everything. You got to be ready to change your friends. You got to be ready to change the people you're around, the things that you do, the places you hang out, right? Right? You've heard it before. People, places, and things. My dad used to preach that to us, beat us over that. Dad, I'm in church 4 days a week. People, places, and things, Ryan. So Joseph goes, and I'm trying to tick along here. Joseph goes before the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says to Joseph, can you interpret dreams? And Joseph was careful not to take the credit. That's the problem with some people. They get so big and they get so big-headed that they take credit for what God does. Don't ever take credit for what God does in your life. Joseph looked back at Pharaoh, he was smart. He looked back at him, he said, God can interpret dreams, not me. So he began to tell Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh what the dreams meant. The seven cows, the stalk full of grain, meant 7 years of plenty. And the ugly cows and the gaunt cows and the dry stalk meant 7 years of famine, right? And he said, God said one thing two different ways. He said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and you're going to have 7 years of famine, favor and famine. God always speaks his word twice. I said this before, but I wrote down these notes. Don't ever forget me saying this. If this sticks with you, it could change your life. God will always speak his word twice. He spoke it in two different ways, the same thing. Remember when David said in Psalm 62, once God has spoken it, and twice I have heard it, this power belongs to God. Remember when God said in Exodus 3, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Remember when God said to Abram in Genesis 22, Abraham, Abram, stay thy hand. I have a ram in the thicket. Remember when in Luke 23, when Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this day you will be with me in paradise. Remember when God said in John 3, truly, truly, you must be born again. Whenever God speaks, there is an echo. Always listen to hear God's voice twice. That's why when Prophet Hector comes in here and he speaks something, and then you see him 3 months later and he speaks the same thing over the same person, maybe says it a little bit of a different way. That's just him talking. That's just fake. That's not the real deal. It is the real deal. It's God confirming what he said the first time, a second time. Somebody sent me a Facebook message over 2 weeks ago, and when I got it, I rolled my eyes and I said, oh God, why do you have this person Facebook me all the time? Why do you have her send me these messages all the time? And I read it and I moved on. 1 week later, I got a message from Lamar Cooper. Where's he live? Ohio? Away. I haven't talked to the guy, I swear to you, I haven't talked to the guy in, what, a year? When's the last time he was here? Maybe longer, maybe 2 years. He sends me a Facebook message and says almost the identical thing. I show it to you on my phone after service. Come and see me. The first person that sent it to me, the one I went, oh my God, why does this person send me this message? She's sitting right there. She's driving me crazy. But listen, God will speak the same thing twice to confirm it. So he spoke this thing to the Pharaoh twice. The same word, he spoke it twice. Why did he speak it twice? Here's why I believe he spoke it twice. Because sometimes we don't believe the first time, do we? I didn't believe her. I read that message. I'm man enough to say it. I said, oh, God. leave me alone. I did.
She knows exactly that's what I was thinking. When she sent send, she knew that I already thought that.
She did it anyways. Don't do it again.
Remember when God said, speaks, there's always an echo. Listen to hear God's voice twice. Don't listen to some goof out in the parking lot. If you got a word of God for somebody, say it in front of a witness. Say it in front of two or three people. Corinthians 13, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Don't let everyone speak over your life. There's been people in this church that have tried speaking negative over my life. I don't receive it. I brush it off. Don't I, Shawnee? I brush it right off. She's seen it happen. That's why I asked her. Brush it right off. Just move right on. Joseph said to God, spoke one thing two different ways. He said, you'll have 7 years of plenty, and then you'll have 7 years of lack. God said, you'll have highs and lows. The higher the highs, the lower the lows. The lower the lows, the higher the highs. I want to speak to people who are struggling just for a second. I want to stop here. The lower the lows of your life, the higher the highs will be. If you're hitting the bottom right now, you got nothing left to give. You came in here tonight, you said, if God doesn't do something in my life, I don't know what's going to happen. The lower your lows are, the higher your highs will be. No great man or woman of God experience high highs without lows lows. Am I talking right tonight or what? No great man or woman of God has experienced the highs without experience in the lows. If you went through a struggle, your name might have been smeared. Look at Joseph. His brothers throw him in a hole in the ground. And he's brought out. He's brought into Potiphar's house. He's running Potiphar's house. Then another lie spoke over him and who he is. And he's thrown in jail. And he's down in jail. And he's still preaching. Hey, I can hear him down in the jail. Right? And he's brought back out over the gift, over the anointing on his life. You'll never go through the high highs without hitting the low lows. Are you with me? If you're really low tonight, God's getting ready to take you higher than you've ever been in your life. I'm going to say that again. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, if you're really low tonight, God's getting ready to take you higher than you've ever been in your life. Just close your eyes right now and just say, I receive that. Joseph not only told him what the dream was, but God opened a door so he could tell him how to handle the dream. What time is it, Mom? Okay, I got 5 minutes. If someone told you what your dream meant, and your dream meant that you'd have 7 years of highs and you'd have 7 years of lows, what would you say? I know what I'd say. What do I do with the 7 years of lows? What I'm going to tell you over the next 5 minutes, and I'm going to be five more minutes and we're going to run out of here. What I'm going to tell you over the next 5 minutes will change your life forever. I believe it's changed mine. I believe that I'll never look at life the same. Are you ready for it? You know what? Come back next Thursday, I'll tell you. I'm just kidding. A lot of scripture deals with accounting phrases. Redemption. Is that an accounting phrase? Is it? Redeeming, yeah. A lot of phrases have to do with accounting. Balance. I was a part of a business, and I was learning some of the books of the business. And it's actually the company that my brother works for currently. And the lady said, I can't tell you exactly
I can't balance your books without looking all the way back to the beginning. I can't tell you exact. I can't balance the books without knowing every credit and every debit. I thought to myself, that's so stupid. This lady's just nosy. She just wants to know everything. Right? That's what you think too. You know it. But I thought more about it. It's the truth. It's a fake number if you don't know what every credit and debit is, right? It's the same with our lives. If you don't track the positives, you'll never understand balance in your life. If you don't track the negatives, you'll never understand balance in your life. I'm closing here. Joseph told the Pharaoh, the famine is not a problem. He says, take the fifth part and store it of the extras and use it for favor. The great years against the bad years. In your job, I'm going to bring this back to us. In your job, you ever start a job? Oh, he was the greatest thing. She's the greatest thing in the world. 2-3 years go by and what happens? The very thing that they loved you for, they hate you for today. Right? You go to work and you see the person and they go, oh, I can't stand the way you do that. Well, when I started, you loved the way I did it. The same person that cries Hosanna will say crucify him 3 years later, right? Your marriage, right? When the relationship started, I can remember when me and my wife started a date. Hey, baby. What are you doing? Oh, nothing. I just, you know, just talking to you. Well, what are you thinking about? Oh, I just love you. You're just the best thing ever. Oh, I can't wait to see you. Then 3 years later, we're married. 3 years go by. The phone rings. I look down at the phone. Oh, Lord, what does she want? I knock on the window at the house. And I know what she's thinking when I knock on the window. Why didn't he bring his keys home with him? Why do I have to get up off the couch and walk halfway around the room? If you don't store the fifth part, listen to what I'm saying now. Some of you've gone through famines. You've lost everything. You've gone through famines in your life. You've lost everything financially, relationally. Hello? Am I talking to anybody? You have to store the fifth part. Are you understand what I'm saying tonight? If you take this with you, you'll never hit the low, low, lows. Store the fifth part. The 7 years. This scripture, I tell you what, it's mind-boggling to me as I broke down the scripture. And I wish I had more time, but I don't. When you go through the 7 years of famine, you go through the 7 years of favor, and you store the fifth part away, you'll balance out the bad years for the good years. You won't take the criticism so seriously. You won't take the praise so seriously. Do you know what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. People make decisions based on highs and lows. They divorce based on highs and lows. Instead, we need to balance and use our favor against our famine. Maybe I could hold out because he or she wasn't always this way. Maybe I can make it another 6 months like that preacher said, and I can just hold my relationship together another 6 months. People make decisions based on highs and lows. Don't do that. You can use your good days against your bad days. You can make it through the favor stands against the bad times. Expect favor and prepare for it. Expect famine and prepare for that. Joseph taught them this. And they had more than enough. Do you know that the scripture says, and read the story, that they set apart the fifth part and the famine hit the land. And they came to the Pharaoh and they said, What are we going to do? We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything. You know what the Pharaoh said? He said, the scripture says it. Go see Joseph. He's got the answer. He sent all the people of Egypt. They went to see Joseph. Joseph
opened up the storehouses. He not only had enough to feed a nation, the nation of Egypt, he had enough that the nations around Egypt, read the scripture, I'm not lying to you. The nations around Egypt, they actually sold it. See, there's even business in the Bible. See, you can't even say I'm not, business in the Bible, I love it. They took the extra and they sold it to the other nations. They not only had enough for them, they had enough for the nations around Egypt. Can you say amen? Apply this to your life. Don't walk out of here and do the same thing you did the last 10 years. Don't walk out of here and do the same thing you did after the last 5 years. When you get married again, when you get that next job, when you get in that next relationship, when your kid really torques you off the next time, remember the good days. Remember the good. Remember the favor. If you balance the two of them, you won't die. If you don't, you might die. You might die in that area of your life. You might lose your job. You could lose a marriage, right? Don't do that to yourself. So I want to pray for two people tonight. Can I pray for two people? You're supposed to say yeah. I want to pray for the person who wants to be the Joseph of today. Don't you want to be the Joseph of today? Don't you? I want to be the Joseph of today. I want to be the guy that thinks, here's the way we fix it. We don't have to go through the drought. Don't get stuck on money either. Don't get stuck on that in your mind, because as you grow older, as you go through things, the money will mean this much to you. Your friendships, your relationships will mean, right, that much to you. Am I saying it right? Who wants to be the Joseph of today? I want to pray for the person who wants to be the Joseph of today. And the second person I want to pray for tonight, and I really want to pray for, if you run out of here without letting me pray for you and pray with you, Pastor Larry, he's going to come down. If you run out of here without letting me pray for you, you'll miss it. Why, you say, well, Ryan, why do you need to pray for me? Maybe there's an anointing up here that isn't back there. Maybe you need to receive something back there that is up here. Two people tonight. Don't leave without me praying for you. Do you want to be the Joseph of today? Do you want to be the Joseph of today? Second person, you need help with balance in your life. You say, Ryan, everything I do, I'm in all the way. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm in a roadblock. I'm in a crash in my life. Don't leave the way you came in. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you for not one Joseph of today in this place. I ask you for 5. I ask you for 10. I ask you for 20 Josephs of today. People who would make a difference. People that would be sought out. People that the world would chase after. And say, because of the gifting, the calling of God that's on his or her life, they make a difference. I pray for that second person tonight who has no balance. Absolutely no balance in their life. They struggle from thing to thing, to place to place, jump from job to job, from relationship to relationship. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that's working in this place that you bring a change. God, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we don't take this place for granted. We thank you that the lights are on. We thank you that it's warm. God, we thank you that you've provided this house for us to learn, grow in, meditate in. We give you thanks for it. Father, I thank you for the servants of this house, the people who vacuumed, the people who took care of this place so we could come in tonight and partake. God, that you'd bless them double tonight. We give you thanks. We give you praise tonight. Would you say amen, church? Don't leave tonight. If you're one of them two people, I'm going to say it one more time. You want to be the Joseph of today? Don't leave tonight without coming down here and let me pray for you. The second person, no balance. You wander from thing to thing, job to job, relationship to relationship. Don't leave here the way you walked in. Come down here. Don't be too good. Don't be too good. Don't put that facade. Don't put that show on. Don't be fake. Just come down here. Let's receive together.
Amen, church. Be blessed.